Springtime is a time of change. The trees are changing. The flowers are changing. The grass is changing. We see the spring colors around us. And we know that we are passing from the season of winter and death to spring and life. Friends, during this time of change that we see in the natural world around us, I want us to think about the importance of changing our life and being right with God. I want to talk this morning about time to change. Will you be transformed into the image of Christ, or will you resist? If you'll turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 48, verses 11 and 12, we will read that in just a moment. We encourage you to get your Bible. We're glad that you've joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. We want to begin with Jeremiah 48, 11 and 12. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. We appreciate you being interested in spiritual things and following us on this program. We just recently finished a weekend series of lessons with Brother John Gentry from Waverly, Tennessee. He spoke about the theme, Who is the Lord? From Exodus chapter 5, 1 and 2, a great series of lessons on learning more about God and Jesus. If you missed that, you can listen to those recordings. You can view his material on our website at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. It's located on the internet, wbcoc.org, wbcoc.org. You can also find those lessons on my personal website, thegoodteacher.com, thegoodteacher.com. We had a great series of lessons, and I believe that they would benefit you as well if you'd like to listen to those. We would be glad for you to visit those websites and get any of that material. We live in a world of fast-paced change. Our country is changing politically and economically, and unfortunately, morally. We find changes, it seems like, every year moving away from God's Word. There are more and more laws being enacted that are against God's Word. More and more states are legalizing same-sex marriage and things like that. Change. Some of it is not for the best. Some of it, much of it is for the worst. And there are moral problems that are happening in our society. There's more gun violence. There's more sexual immorality. And when we leave God and His Word and we change and go away from biblical principles, there are going to be physical and moral and spiritual problems. As Isaiah said in Isaiah 5:20, some people call good evil, and other people call evil good. And so we're seeing all kinds of change in the world around us. And there is a bad kind of change. There is a change where people do not want to stay with the Word of God. They want to change the Word of God. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But then there is good change. Change where we realize that we're in our sin and we want to come out of that and we want to become a faithful Christian. In Jeremiah chapter 48, we're going to read verses 11 and 12. This is a prophecy in a particular section of the book of Jeremiah that deals with different prophecies against nations other than Judah, God's people, other nations that were sinning. God was going to send punishment and judgment upon them. And in this particular prophecy in Jeremiah 48, it's the prophecy against Moab, the country of Moab. In Bible times, Moab was located east of the Dead Sea. So if you can picture in your mind toward the southern part of modern-day Palestine, the Jordan River goes down into the Dead Sea. And then about halfway down the Dead Sea on the east and then toward the southern end of the Dead Sea on the east is the land of Moab. This is modern day, a part of modern day Jordan. In Bible times, in Jeremiah 48, they were committing various sins, idolatry, pride, other kinds of things. And God, through Jeremiah, is saying, I'm going to come and punish them. And he uses an expression here that I want us to begin with this morning. He uses an expression from the process of trampling out grapes to make wine. And grapes were put in a stone container, a hole in the ground, and then stoned that would hold the juice, and they would trample on those grapes, and then they would take that juice and they would pour it in a jar. And there would be sediment, might be stems, seeds, the skin of the grapes, maybe things that were bugs, other types of things that were on the grapes. And when they're trampled out and the juice is made, all of that is gathered up and poured into jars, and the sediment falls down to the bottom of the jar. That sediment, the Old English word that is used in this verse is lees, L-E-E-S, or you might have a version that says dregs, D-R-E-G-S. We don't use the word lees or dregs. It just simply means that which is settled down to the bottom of the jar. And Moab is described this way. Jeremiah 48, verse 11, Moab has been at ease from his youth and has settled on his lees and has not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither has he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remaineth in him and his scent is not changed. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Jehovah, that I will send unto him them that pour off, and they shall pour him off, and they shall empty his vessel and break their bottles in pieces. A symbol of coming judgment. But God uses this idea that Moab is settled on his lees, at ease. They don't want to change. And so this expression meant someone who doesn't want to change is settled in their ways, complacent, comfortable. They're okay with how they're living. And that would describe many people today, friends. But I want to encourage you not to be like one of those persons. Get up and make the change. Spiritually speaking, you may need to make some other changes in your life. But the first and foremost would be to change your life and bring it into conformity to God's word and will. Don't just simply be at ease. That is a common problem in Bible times and even today. You could turn over to Amos chapter 6 and verse 1. God's people were at ease in Zion because of her trust in material things. We get comfortable. We get at ease. We get okay with the status quo. We get up each day and we're fine with our life, even though there's sin in our life, and we're not worshiping God like we're supposed to. We're all fine. We're all good. That's an expression that a lot of people use today. I'm good. I'm good. That means don't bother me. I'm fine. I don't want to be disturbed. And so rather than being emptied from vessel to vessel, Jeremiah 48:11, where you pour the liquid off, you let it settle again, and then you pour it off again. Each time you're pouring that off, you're getting rid of the sediment on the bottom and you're getting the pure grape juice. Instead of being poured off and changed, they were just settled. And that settlement on the bottom forms a crusty bottom that embitters the juice. And so, friends, let's not be settled. Let's not be at ease. But let's get up and make the change. There is bad change when people For example, we want to change things that are in God's Word. There are some things that are to remain the same of the New Testament gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, "Be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you that you are remembering me in all things, and hold fast the traditions even as I delivered them to you." The apostolic traditions that have been handed down in the New Testament gospel, these are to stay the same. Notice I said apostolic. Paul said that they were handed down by him. We're not talking about later church traditions by uninspired men, but we're talking about the inspired apostles. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul again writes, "So then, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which were taught, whether by word or by epistle of ours, the apostles." And what Paul and Silas and Timothy wrote. We're not talking about later uninspired men. And then we have the well-known passage, and I hope that it would be well-known to us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul said to young Timothy, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words." There are some things that are not meant to change. And he said, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me." Again, the Apostle Paul. We're not talking about later uninspired men. But the New Testament gospel written by Paul and the other apostles and writers, we must hold that fast and not change that today. There are a lot of people that are wanting to take the first century church and turn it into a 21st century church of their own choosing and making and molding. And that's a bad kind of change. Some things being changed today are the work of the church. People are engaged in social and recreational activities when that was not done in the first century. I'm talking about as a church. Those are good things to be done individually as a family, but not as the church. The worship of the church has changed. The organization, the plan of salvation. Women preachers and elders today that were not in the first century. Instrumental music today that was not in the first century. The way people dress and talk and act immodestly. There's all kinds of changes going on that I would describe as bad change. Changing away from the truth of God's Word. But the lesson this morning is not talking about that. I want to talk about the good change that we need to make in order to come to God. I'm talking about conversion. I'm talking about repenting and turning to Christ. I'm talking about good change. Changing when we should not stay the same. We should not stay in our sinful life. I'm talking about conversion to Christ like Saul of Tarsus, who was later called the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 4, he fell upon the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and enter into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And he was told when he got into Damascus by Ananias to arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We're talking about that kind of change. And we're also talking about changing in Acts chapter 9, if you jump down to verse 20, Saul, who was persecuting the church, is now preaching Christ. Acts 9:20, straightway in the synagogue, he proclaimed Jesus, that he is the Son of God. Prior to that, he was persecuting Christ and Christians and preaching against Jesus. Here, he is preaching for him. We're talking about that kind of change, friend. Will you do that? In Acts chapter 15 and verse 3, Paul and others were declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto the brethren. Will you be converted? Will you be changed? It's not enough just simply to have a casual belief in a God. Somebody says, well, I believe that there is a God. We have to be an obedient follower of his son, Jesus Christ. We have to be baptized into Christ and worship on a regular basis. We're getting into a period of our culture and life now where people just have a general smattering of knowledge of religion, but they're not specifically obeying the commandments each week involving worshiping together with other Christians on Sunday. It's just sort of a general knowledge of God, and I know that there's a Bible, and I've heard of Jesus Christ, and that's enough for me. No, we have to make some important changes, friends. Will you be converted to Christ? If we are a Christian and we've fallen into sin, we need to be converted. We need to turn and change. James writes in James chapter 5 that even erring Christians who have allowed sin to come back into their life, he writes in James 5:19, my brethren, if anyone among you, among the brethren, err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he that converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. That person, the erring Christian, needs to come back, turn, repent, be converted. That's the change that we want to see in the world today and in your life and in my life. Let's not just simply be settled and at ease. Christians need to change and grow and mature. We're to add to our faith. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11. We're not to stay the same Christian every day and every week and every year, just hanging on at a certain level. We've gotten to a certain level and we've plateaued, and that's where we're going to stay the rest of our life, but we must always be growing. We're to add to our faith. We're to grow. We're to press on to maturity. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Some Christians hardly grow. They get to a point, they stop growing, and they go back the other direction. So we're talking about being converted to Christ. We're talking about, as an erring Christian, coming back to Christ. We're talking about, as a faithful Christian, growing each day and maturing and doing better in our attitude and in our actions. This is the good change that we're talking about this morning. When you look and you see the trees changing and the flowers and the plants and the grass is changing to where we're starting to mow, and we'll be doing that for the next few months, we see that change in nature around us. Think of the spiritual change that we need to have in our lives. You know, some resist change. They just don't want it. Some are satisfied with the current status quo. They're okay with their past. They're comfortable with their past. They're comfortable with the familiar and with the routine. And they're okay with that. But that's what the devil wants, friends. Just to be okay with the familiar and the comfortable. Some are not willing to sacrifice. They know that becoming a Christian is going to be a sacrifice. I'm going to have to give up a portion of my Sunday to come together to worship with other Christians. I don't want to do that. I don't want to read my Bible regularly. I don't want to pray regularly. I don't want to live a clean life. That's not fun. And so they don't want to make the sacrifices. Some are not willing to give up the control of their lives. Paul writes in Galatians 2 and verse 20, it is not I that live, but Christ who lives in me. People today don't want Christ living in them and governing their actions and their attitudes and what they're thinking. They want to be in control. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed, Father, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Some today don't want to pray that. They want to do what they want to do. And they don't want to give up that control even to Jesus Christ. Some are just outright lazy. Some will not change because they're spiritually lazy. They might be physically lazy, but they're spiritually lazy, and they don't want to get up and make the change. Others are prejudiced. They already have their mind made up. I don't want to have anything to do with that religious mumbo jumbo. Religion is for old people. I don't need that. Or whatever. They've got their mind made up. And we're going to see an example of that in just a minute from the book of Acts. There were several cases of non-conversion in the book of Acts. Acts tells us about several cases of conversion, people who turned to Jesus and obeyed him, but it also tells about, and sometimes in the same story, cases of non-conversion, people who didn't want to turn to Christ. And some of it had to do with prejudice. Jews and others who had their minds already made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. You may have heard that. Don't confuse me with the truth. My mind's already made up. I don't want to change. And so people will resist for these reasons, satisfied with the status quo, and they're just comfortable, not willing to sacrifice, not willing to give up control, lazy, prejudice. But friends, the problem is it keeps us from changing and turning to that which is good for us. One choice in life that you will never regret, you will never regret making the choice to change and come to Christ. A lot of choices that we make, we regret later. We regret telling that lie. We regret cheating on someone or stealing something. We regret hurting someone. One regret you'll never have is the choice to change and come to Christ. Will you do that? Can we help you to do that? Can we study together from God's Word if you want to know more of what you need to do? Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins." Acts 2:38. Paul says that we are to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord. Romans 10:9-10. These are the things that we need to do to become a Christian. But if you need to study those more, if you're new to the Word of God, and that's fine, let's sit down with an open mind and an open Bible and study together what we need to do. Contact us. The information at the beginning and end of this program, contact us. We'd be glad to come study with you to make that good change. Sometimes people, with regard to change, they will say some things, and I'd like to address those things. Sometimes somebody will say, "Well, this will go away." What he's talking about, it'll go away. It really won't. There's no choice in the matter. This is what God's Word says, and there's a coming judgment day. And it's not just going to go away. Your need and my need to come to Jesus Christ and obey Him, that's a reality. It's not just something that's a passing fad that will go away and I don't have to worry about it. It will be with us until Jesus comes again, and we have to obey Him before He comes. Another thing that people say is, or they think is, that with regard to change is that if I get upset, if I fight it, that'll make it better. When in reality, getting upset causes more problems. It clouds our judgment. anger and frustration and resentment offer no benefits. And we can shake our fist at God and Christ and say, I'm not going to do it, but it's not going to help. If we're going to battle, choose your battles carefully. And battling against coming to Christ is a battle we don't want to enter into. We're not going to win that one. Somebody says, well, this is bad for me right now. When in fact, becoming a Christian is the best thing for you right now. When we become a Christian, things change in our life for the better. Jesus talks about suffering and being persecuted for his name's sake. That's true. There are those types of things. But many good things come when we become a child of God. It's not bad for me to change right now. It's good for me. Somebody says, well, it's worked well for me for many years. Why change now? Let's not fix it. You know that old expression, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, friends, it's broken. When there's sin in our life, it's broken. They are necessary changes. When we examine ourselves seriously, we find ourselves to be wrong. Paul writes in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, spiritual death, separation from God, and then for all eternity in hell fire. That's a reality. It's not working for us. The devil says, live your life and you're okay, but it's not working. It is broken. We need to fix it. Then somebody says, these changes were not my idea, so it's not my responsibility to make them work. Well, it's God's idea. It's God's plan. And we need to work toward the solution. We need to seize the chance to make a change. When Peter preached the first sermon recorded in Acts 2, he said, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And some 3,000 souls were baptized that day. You've got to take the problem by the horns, so to speak, and seize on that and make the change. Some resisted in the book of Acts. Some did not want to. When, for example, Stephen was preaching to Jews in Acts chapter 7, they hardened their heart and resisted. There are different places in the book of Acts where it said that those who heard, sometimes they hardened their heart, they were disobedient. Some mocked in Acts chapter 17 when Paul was preaching in Athens. Some mocked. People resist, but don't do that. Change this morning. Don't be settled in your complacent ways. Let's make the change. In Psalm 55 and verse 19, God is against those who will not change. So let's make the necessary change and come to him this morning. Thank you so much for listening. It's time for change. Let us help you to make that change to come to Christ. We appreciate you listening this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, and we hope that you'll have a good day.